And I'm really glad to be back here. I haven't been for a while. In February, I have a ministry called Flames of Fire Ministries Incorporated, and Pastor and Denny are part of my board. And God just exploded and brought increase to the ministry, where I'm booked solid through October. And it was an answer to prayer. I also have another obligation. My husband's not well, so he keeps me busy as well. He doesn't live with me. He lives in a facility. And so when I have him on weekends, it's like a full-time job. So unfortunately, I have to pace myself and do the best I can to spread myself around to everybody. But it's so great to see a lot of familiar faces. There's some faces here that were part of my School of the Prophets. I do teach. I have Schools of the Prophets. I'm currently doing the fifth one. And I don't know how I would have made it this far in my life without hearing God's voice. That's all I can tell you. And I'm glad I don't get to find out. I mean, there was a time in my life where I didn't hear him for a few years. And it was only because he was trying to show me something. And I thought, couldn't we learn this any other way? But at that particular time, it was like living in a vacuum, and I got a real handle on what the lost feels like, mm-hmm. and why they go in to do the things that they do. So without any further ado, and I'm gonna try and wrap this up pretty quick. The Lord has a powerful message for you all. And if I go a little long and you have to leave, I'm not gonna get insulted, but I'm gonna do my best. I'm going to post two disclaimers. Number one, don't just believe what comes out of my mouth. Go into your Bible and check it out. This is what God has shown me. Okay? And I pray and I ask you, Lord, right now, that anything that comes out of my mouth is just you.
Amen.
Please, God.
Thank you.
And I always get nervous about doing these things, because whenever I go to a church or an event, I always ask the Lord, what message do you want for this church or this event or whatever? Because I have tons of messages that I could pull out, but that's not how he wants me to roll.
Yeah, yeah, come on now.
And it was very interesting, because I'm always a little nervous. Are you sure, Mark? You really want me to say this?
Yeah.
Really? Are you sure? And I love it the way he confirms it with some lines in the worship songs and in some other areas. So that's how I roll. So I titled this message, The Joseph Company, and I will explain to you why as we go along. As you can probably guess, I'm going to be talking about Joseph in the Bible, in Genesis, starting in chapter 37. But the scripture I want to lead off with is Romans 8:28, and this is the ESV version. And we know that for those who love God, all things, how many things?
All things.
Work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So keep that in your mind as we go along. So first of all, I want to give some historical facts about Joseph, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of this, but I feel like this is a precursor to where I'm going. So I appreciate you bearing with me. Number one, he was a result of rivalry between Jacob's wives. Are you aware of the story? Okay. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, and he cut a deal with Laban and did his 7 years, and surprise, he got Leah.
Yeah.
But you said,
yeah.
Have we ever had a moment where you go, but you said?
Yeah.
I have. And then he had to work another 7 years, and he finally got Rachel. So let's go back further. As Jacob, Joseph's father, navigated stealing Esau's birthright. Now, this is important because, well, I'll get there. Just follow me. So I believe also that Joseph had preference and favor from his father because of him being the firstborn of Rachel, even though he was the youngest son. So this, there started lots of deceit in Joseph's lineage. Back to how Joseph ended up with Rachel, Joseph's mother, as I said. So one can conclude that Joseph's family line was messed up. Can anybody identify with messed up family? I don't know. I don't come from a Pollyanna life or family, so. So I said, also Joseph's father was a thief. Some of his siblings were some of Joseph's siblings were mass murderers, and there was incest and more, so he was really got some issues going on. He was also very young, 17, and all that goes along with being 17, when he got catapulted into his detour. He had no filters. Whatever he thought came out of his mouth and got him into trouble. Can we all identify with that? I've been there and done it, especially with the prophetic I learned. And thought like a 17-year-old. So his mind and his maturity were too small to wrap his head, I believe, around what God had for him. He probably was cocky and impulsive too. No, I'm not bad-mouthing him. I'm just giving you qualities and speculation about where he was in his life at this time, okay? And he was carefree for the most part, like a little, you know, a kid, tending sheep, happy, happy, happy with his sheep. I almost think that was somewhat prophetic, but he didn't know that. And then one day, God interrupted and disrupted his life for 22 years precipitously. Boom, that fast. And after the end of that time, God launched him into his end time destiny without any warning and practical experience for that either. Have anybody been there? Where all of a sudden you're going on in your life and bam. And you almost have a faith crisis or all sorts of crises that you had not prepared for. Now, we have the ability to prepare for these things because we have the Bible. Joseph did not. I don't know. I believe that Joseph's father was diligent in trying to teach his sons about God, but he didn't have the knowledge, the resources, and the supports that we do now. So keep that in mind. So to me, he was at a pretty big disadvantage. Did any of you ever have a moment when you reflect on what God has you doing now? If you only knew, young in your Christian walk, you might want to hide under the bed. Oh my gosh. If God had told me years ago, and if you'd known me years ago, I was the geek, the introvert, the one that hid in the corner, you know, and couldn't deal with people. If he had told me back then what he was going to do with me now, I would have said, oh, no, no, no. Yeah. Under the bed I go. Yeah. Hide, isolate, whatever. I didn't have the maturity to, and the knowledge of God and his character and what my identity was in Christ to be able to wrap that all around my head back then. So I would have run. And I would have run so far, I probably would have missed the opportunity of what he has for me now.
Amen.
So has anybody been there? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Okay, most of us. Have you ever had conversations with God when he tells you to do something and you go, you want me to do what? How? And what bank am I going to rob? I have. In fact, it's funny, that is some of my conversation with him, and because he's had me do some pretty audacious things. And one of them was starting this ministry. And so I had went to a retreat one time in Leroy, and I had a prophetic word. And the first word that came out of the first minister was, and God says, and oh, she said, and I hear you telling the Lord, and you want me to do what? What bank do you want me to rob? I couldn't believe it. There's no way this woman would have known that. And then she went on to encourage me that what God had assigned for me, he was going to equip and provide. So God always will confirm what he tells you or what you tell him. As I said, sometimes we only see part of the picture and go run before him too. And land on our face because we tried to make it happen in our own flesh, in our own time.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't mean the word isn't going to happen. It just means for some of us, it's not just happening fast enough. And I believe, if you read the Bible, it will say there are appointed times, many appointed times. Jesus did not launch into his ministry before his appointed time, aside from the wedding feast at Cana.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, we all have, in fact, most of his, if not all of his major miracles happened at appointed times in the Bible and the feasts. There are Kairos moments that God has for every single one of us. And one of the scriptures I really love is Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 2. And I can't remember the verse, but it says, let's see if I try not to butcher this. It's one of my favorites. Though the vision tarry, write it down, for surely it will come to pass. So I like to do that. I like to journal. I like to keep a book with all the words that God has for me. And then I review them periodically and steward them. We're steward. That's how you steward them. You read them, you pray over them. But you wait. And a lot of us in our microwave society are not really good at waiting. I'm not good at waiting.
Amen.
And many times we're not ready to see the whole picture, as I said. And we're going to talk a little bit about disruption and divine interruptions and detours in a minute. So Joseph had a grand destiny assigned to him before the foundations of time. Like we all are. Destined for greatness by God, he did not know that initially, but God did. God always knows what's best, and he's always looking at the bigger picture in anything that happens in our life. He has the whole scheme, the whole panorama. But Joseph was a dreamer and really did not understand his dreams initially, but was able to interpret revelation to Pharaoh eventually about the famine in the land that he saw. And this didn't happen until after he was seasoned and marinated, I like that word, marinated, by God in his prison. I believe he marinated in God's presence in his isolation in that prison, in and out. He was in and out a couple of times. And I believe Joseph was launched exactly at his Kairos moment and his appointed time when he was cooked enough after being marinated. Enough in God's presence to inherit the fullness of his destiny. I believe there's not a lot in the Bible about how he felt during that time. Really, there's nothing. Okay, except it does say three times God was with Joseph. Say, God is with us. Come on.
God is with us.
Say it with a little more robustness.
God is with us.
I mean, seriously, let that go from the head down into the soul, into the heart. Because there are times that we go through that we don't feel it. And we are not driven by our feelings. We may be, but we shouldn't be. Okay? And I believe during that time in his isolation, God sovereignly downloading into him all he needed for the job at hand. And I love the word marinate. So when you marinate a piece of meat, you do it long enough for the flavors and the seasonings to not just be on the surface, but through and through. And that process takes a little while. In fact, that marinating will actually tenderize the meat. Joseph was marinating. Now, how he felt about it, I don't have a clue. I can only speculate. The anointing, now there's a scripture that says the anointing inside of us will teach us. I do not think that was part of the Torah. Okay? Might have been. I don't know. I don't have it memorized. But the anointing inside of us will teach us. I can't tell you how many RN jobs I've had that I told God I did not want to do and couldn't do and was afraid to do. And he gave me every single one. And I did them well. Not because I had any special talent, because when you go to college to be a nurse, you don't have a lot of practical experience, I can tell you right now. It's like fly by the seat, like motherhood or fatherhood. There's no manuals. It's on-the-job training. So, but God was marinating. The anointing was teaching him. In his cave, along with the totality of the different experiences he had already had in his life, to be in preparation for the palace. So his preparation didn't come in the palace. It came in the pit. We know by the way the story went that he had to have embraced all of his suffering. Now, we are so fortunate to have God's word, scriptures to hold on to, that when we go through tough times, even if we don't feel it, we can say them and declare them over ourselves. And not to mention the grace of God that sustains us during those times that we can't even quantify, because we really don't know. Not to mention also his love. And you know what I have a hard time wrapping around? He loves us just because we are. Yikes!
Come on now.
He didn't just love me because I got saved. He loved me way back over here when I was doing my own thing.
Come on now.
I called this, and I actually have a message about it, and this is not a popular subject. It's called The Fellowship of the Intimacy of the Sufferings of Jesus Christ. But actually, this is a sweet place. Not only that, it says that, you know, but for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He didn't know anything about the cross, Joseph. But God had his hand on him. God had him marked for his destiny before the foundations of time. That's another one. But that goes for all of us too, you know. This word is about encouragement. This word is about really getting it down in your soul and your heart. How much God loves you, no matter how you feel about yourself, too. We need to learn to love ourselves, because this wasn't part of my message. We were created in his image. It says that in Genesis. I believe it says it in other places too. But we shouldn't despise perfection, if we have the fullness of Jesus Christ in us and the resurrection power, when we condemn ourselves, and we're not supposed to, because my Bible says the condemnation is not of the Lord.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that was my big mistake when I had my meltdown. But I get that. So we need to grab onto our identity in Him, not what we think our identity is, or not the identity that we get from other people in our sphere of influence. Because when we grew up, and I grew up with, you're going to be a no good for nothing amount to nothing for years, pounded in my head. Now, the thought there was to shame me into greatness, but it had the opposite effect. Words have power, folks. They have power. We need to watch them carefully. So when we go through this fellowship of the intimacy,